Hello. I didn't see you come in. That was just a bit of fun. You didn't come in anywhere. But welcome to the Interested in Music podcast. This is a new podcast hosted by me, Tom, where I speak to one of my friends or someone I know about music and get to know them a little bit better by understanding their musical taste, why music's important to them, and really just digging beneath the surface. This week, my guest was Rob Elliott. Rob's a good friend of mine. He is based in Florida, in America. We hung out in Philadelphia a few months ago and had a very good time. This week's episode is, I'm not going to say sponsored because they don't know about it, but this week's episode is sponsored by epilepsy. Rob is a sufferer of epilepsy, and we had a little chat and decided that if you want to support the podcast in any way, or even if you don't and you just want to be a nice person, make some donations to a local epilepsy charity near you because they do good work and they keep people like Rob alive. So I guess let's get into the podcast. Let's do it. We're here to talk about music. So join me as I find out if Rob Elliott is interested in music. So tell the listeners a few things about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? Where are you from?
What's your shoes,
all that sort of stuff.
Okay, you're still going to keep talking?
I'm done now. Calm down, buddy.
I am Rob Elliott at Rocky Momax on Twitter. I'm from Hollywood, Florida, and I'm awesome.
That's true.
Is that a good answer? I think it's a good answer.
I think that's the best answer. I mean, it's the best one I've had so far. So.
There you go. An inaugural show. Nobody's going to beat that anyway.
Exactly. No one's ever going to beat it. I'll probably work this out by next time.
It just takes it. Right now, I have a lot to live up to.
Exactly. Everyone else is going to struggle to reach the pinnacle.
It depends what your definition of awesome is, I guess.
I mean, you defined it. Yours is you. So.
Yeah, mine's awesome is what my definition of awesome is.
Exactly.
So, man.
I think a good thing to mention is that we were chatting earlier and you said about when I was in Philadelphia and we hung out, we was in a bar and we had a long conversation about music and music we liked when we were growing up and similar music tastes we had. And it got me thinking and I wrote down some of the questions that we asked each other and they are the questions that kind of started to form the idea of doing this. So I guess if it's any good, you can take half the credit, and if it's any bad, you can take all the blame.
Okay, I'll do the blame part. If it's good, I think it's a good idea on your behalf. I'll take the blame part.
That's fair. I like the credit. That's good. Cool.
Yeah. It's such a cool idea too, because that was such a great conversation. We had seen each other for about 12 hours at that point, and that was where I was like, Tom, this is why we're buddies, bro, because this is.
Exactly.
We were right on the same plane.
So it's nice to get to know someone in that way. So that's what we're going to try and do. So let's jump into it.
Let's get it, buddy.
So Rob, what was the first album you bought with your very own money?
My very own money. The best I can remember was Blink-182, Dude Ranch. Yeah, my girlfriend. Was the first one I can remember. Mowing lawn to be able to make $20.
I think that's a pretty cool first album. I guess a lot of people have kind of something embarrassing as like a 12-year-old, but you've gone right in with Blink-182.
Yeah, but this was we discussed this before that it was not my 12-year-old album was not nearly as cool, I don't think. But I mean, Blink was the first one I ever bought with my own money.
What was the occasion? Did you were you building up to it? Had you been saving up mowing lawns for a while? Was it
no.
You've been hearing Blink on the radio, you're thinking, let's do it?
I went to a skate park. It was called Ramp 42. My mom drove me up there. I was like 13, nice. Right around there. And they had a jukebox. And Damn It came on the jukebox. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, this is different and awesome for me. Because I didn't listen to any punk rock or anything even in the pop punk whatever realm until like that day. Until like that day. And I remember it. Mostly hip hop, I think, because where I grew up really is like a solid hip hop culture through my middle school and high school. But I was kind of like the nerdy white kid listening to Tupac, which I was saying is with my mom bought me the Dear Mama single, and I thought that was the jam. That was like, I forget what year it was, but I was like 11. And then
I think Tupac's he's held up. It's pretty popular still.
She bought me the clean version of the cassette single.
The radio friendly one where they say fudge instead of fuck.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what my mom bought me for a while, I think, leading up. And she actually got me the Machiavelli CD, and it was like the regular version, and we put it in, me and my brother, and she's like, nah. Not in my car. You can listen in your bedroom.
Not good enough for my voice.
No. She was happy when I started listening to some like rock music, I guess. My dad was a musician.
Nice. What did your dad play?
He played guitar and bass and saxophone. Saxophone was like his main. Yeah. So I grew up in a music house. My mom plays piano. My brother also plays saxophone, and I play guitar and bass, albeit badly.
I mean,
badly, like I could sit down and play, but I'm not like a ripper or anything. I could sit down and play. I played in bands and stuff, but it was always like Rob's a step behind everybody else.
He's the slow one.
Yeah, he's the slow one.
Head wound.
Yeah, I'm the head wound. If everybody doesn't know head wounds, that's Tom's fault.
Oh, well, it's your fault. You fell out of a lifeguard.
Yeah, I do fall a lot. So,
Dude Ranch, so what do you think of it now? Has it held up for you? Is it a good album? Would you listen to it?
Definitely. Still, when songs come on, I'll still always listen. And it might not be one that I pick to listen to daily. And, you know, obviously it's came out, what, like 98? So that's 17, 18.
Yeah, 97, 98.
Yeah, 19
years ago. 19, 20
years ago, yeah. It's crazy. So, my mom took me to go see them live and sat outside and waited for me and my friend.
Was that your first show?
Yeah, I think it was my first show. Was my mom drove me and my buddy Drew, and drove us down to go see Blink. In a bar.
Nice.
It was in like a small, like tiny little place. It was just like a couple, maybe even months before they started doing like huge tours and Enema of the State came out.
That's awesome, man. I used to love going to shows and seeing the parents stood at the back, like trying to spot their kid in the crowd just to make sure they were safe.
She waited outside for us.
That's cooler. You can cut loose.
Yeah, it was me. Yeah, I think that was the coolest like little experience. I mean, I had been to watch my dad's bands play, and we used to have a thing here called the Wing Ding, but like all the music, my dad's music was cool, but everything else we went to go see sucked. This was like my first show where I was like, oh my God, you get to let out some aggression and dance around and have a good time. And I was 13. It was so cool.
That's awesome. Well, speaking of aggression, that segues nicely onto your answer for the next question. So, Rob, what was the last album you got? And I say got because I don't think people are going out and buying CDs anymore. But what was the last thing downloaded or whatever you do to get your music these days?
I think the last one, like rock and roll, was Beartooth. My buddy called me and he was like, yo, you got to check out this band. Beartooth, because he says that the singer reminded him of me. Like, mind you, he said it reminded him of me when I was living in a house with him 10 years ago, 9 years ago, and like I was in better shape with longer hair and I was much cooler. Life is So he made sure to tell me that it was 10 years ago, not now. But
not current, Rob. But
the band Beartooth was the first. I just got aggressive, I want to say. It was like I got in, they have two, Disgusting and Aggressive. And I can't remember which one's the newer one, but it was the first
Aggressive
band
is the newer one. I've been listening to them this week, and Aggressive is the newer album. And that's the one I've been listening to on your recommendation. And I've got to say, it's new to me, and it's pretty hardcore. I'm into it. I'm enjoying it. It's good stuff.
And it's got some melody and stuff, too, so there's some good hooks. And they just kind of reminded me of, like, A Day to Remember. And it was the first band in a while that I went into their catalog and listened to everything, because the first song caught me, that song In Between. And I think is on Disgusting. And
it is,
and they were the first one that really caught me recently, that I was like, this is new, and it was cool to me. They're like a 3-year-old band, but new to me, and it was just kick-ass. Yeah. Like, I really enjoyed it.
When I listened to it last weekend in the gym, and I was listening to Aggressive, the album, all the way through, and like, there's some good songs on it. And then it got to, I think, like track 4 or 5 is called Fairweather Friend.
Yeah.
And that song, just, I had to message you. I was like, man, this is a good song.
It's good.
Yeah,
did it make you like want to like pick up a whole bunch of weights and throw them at people?
Yeah, I was like, put my back out.
It's on my running mix. Like, when I go running, I like heavy, fast music, and that's that's one that's on there that makes you think you're running a million miles an hour, even though you're not.
It's one of those. It gets the blood pumping, I think.
Absolutely, especially in the gym.
Also, that's what you're there for, I guess. I wrote down 2 tracks. I wrote down Fair With a Friend and Rock Is Dead, which is near the end of the album. I think that song kind of, it has a lot of transition in it. There's some really heavy elements to it, and then it switches to
Rock
melodic.
Is Dead?
And, it has this kind of switching around. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. And have you heard it enough to know any of the lyrics?
I think
Rock and Roll's Dead. I'd rather be deaf, I think, but I don't know if that even makes sense. Yeah,
it's
but
a very cool line. We'll put it on the we're gonna release alongside this episode. We'll do a Spotify playlist, and I'll put it on there for people to listen to, because it's a really good
song. Awesome.
And there, like you said, there's some cool lyrics in it.
I was saying the thing that really got me about them, the lead singer, his name is Caleb Shomo. He wrote both of those records in his basement by himself, recorded every instrument by himself, mixed everything by himself, produced everything by himself, and then got a band and taught them everything. So
that's
he does
awesome.
Everything. Yeah, that drew me to it a little bit more.
Yeah, I love that. The guy is so creative that he's like made the entire thing.
That's,
you know,
and he used to be in a band called Attack Attack.
That's what I was about to say to you. I looked him up, and he used to be in this other metalcore band. And have you checked out them at all?
I remember that one song, Stickly or something, but it really wasn't for me. They did a cover of, I want to say, like Katy Perry or something I had on a playlist. I want to say it was, but I can't remember. I want to say it's Katy Perry, because I have a little small thing for pop punk covers. I'm too cool to listen to the actual songs, but when they put a little bit of heavy in it, I'll listen to it all day.
Yeah. Nice. You know, I looked the guy up, and I haven't listened to, I listened to kind of a little bit of Attack Attack, but I don't know them. But the thing that is crazy to me is, particularly now you said that he recorded the entire thing himself, the guy's like 24. The band's been about, Beartooth have been about for like 3 or 4 years, and this guy's 24 now. It's like he's making this metal album in his basement by himself at like 20 years old. It's insane.
It's so really good. Crazy, man. And then to be in a signed band before that, you know, and then coming into another band. And I'm 33 years old, bro, so I felt weird. like nerding out on a band with a guy that's 10 years younger than me. But
you can't meet him and be a fanboy about it, because he's a child.
Yeah. I've never been like a super, you know, people are people. I respect and I like what people do. So it really doesn't matter what age they are. If they're kicking ass, they're kicking ass.
Yeah, that's completely fair. Aside from Beartooth, what are you listening to at the moment? What's on the running playlist? What's Rocky Momat?
The running playlist has been The Devil Wears Prada has been in there.
Nice.
With Roots Above and Branches Below.
Cool.
Was one of my favorite like metalcore albums. And there's a new record called Worldwide, and the single Worldwide is on there. They're really good. And let's see, for running, that's really Recognize.
5 o'clock, moving like a rattlesnake in Venice. Shutting off my monkey suit, well that'll take a minute. Hold the door for me, brothers and sisters, it's time to jettison. The world's passing by, I think it's about time that they let us in. My medicine is like better gin, ice cold juice and a man's by
his new record is, he's a hip-hop artist from down here that I grew up with.
Do you know him personally?
Yeah, we used to go over and hang out when he worked at a Quiznos. Close by, and my buddy dated his sister, and just, you know, it was a Hollywood guy. Like, everybody pretty much knew each other from our high school, and I had buddies that were also rappers, but his name's Ben. Ben was always one step in front of everyone. You could always tell he was incredibly talented, and he won, a rap battle contest on MTV,
right,
and nothing really came of it. He recorded a record that didn't do much, and then boom, popped into when he got signed by Strange Music, everything started to line up for him.
Yeah, that's great. It's nice to see someone who, like, you know, who's local, kind of working away, and then suddenly it will just happen.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's very, very neat, and his music is just so good. Such good flow, such good lyrics, hooks, and he can still sing on the parts, on the hooks and stuff. It's very cool.
Yeah. I checked out his new album, Into the Further, and that track, it's track two on the album, Further, is awesome. It's such a like party song. I don't usually get into like party hip hop, but it's so much fun. So much fun. It's awesome.
It's really this new one, and his one before this was just, I couldn't think of anything that he could beat it with, and he beat it. It was even better.
What's are there any tracks that stand out to you that you kind of can't turn off?
Last Day Alive is one that caught me right away. Yeah, it's everything about it. It's just got, like, again, such a good flow. It's got this really weird beat to it. That starts off, it's like almost like what one of those Cobra guys would pull, like a Cobra tamer, snake charmer. It's kind of got that kind of like weird start to it, and then it goes right into like real. It shows off, gives a good spectrum of what he's capable of.
I think flow wise on that album, the track Knuckle Dragon, it's the one after Last Day Alive. That song.
Yeah.
Cool. I think there's a featured artist on there as well, possibly, and that's
I don't know who's
really
in there.
Good.
I know Tech N9ne gets in with them a lot.
Yeah.
He's
told
the one
me
that owns
he's
the
like in a rap group as well, right? Recognize?
Yeah, they're called Mayday, and they're a live band with a drummer. They used to have a bass player. I think it's down to just a drummer now and synth and stuff. But they're called Mayday, and it's a like an upside down exclamation point, Mayday, and then an exclamation point, if anybody ever did want to look it up. And then
the guy can rap, so it's, I mean, I would recommend checking out different stuff. He does, absolutely.
Yeah, and there's another band called Merz Day, where the rapper Merz collaborates with Mayday, and it's called Merz Day, another fantastic album.
Nice. You like a crossover as well, didn't you? You like a collaboration.
Yeah, I do.
Band you were telling me about.
Yeah, Silvertooth, man. I didn't get to see it live. Like, we went, and I got to see Silverstein for the first time in years and years. It was cool getting to see some of the newer songs. And then with Beartooth, they formed Silvertooth. And it's four guitar players, two bass players, two drummers, two singers. It's just apparently it's a hell of a thing to see. And they'll do like
what
one Silverstein song.
But it works.
I mean, I think it's just a live, gimmick kind of thing. But it's they cover the Ramones. They do Blitzkrieg.
Nice.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, like, the Ramones is like some of the simplest guitar you've ever heard by one man for four metal guitarists you playing it at once. It's quite a thing. Okay, so you mentioned you went to Warped Tour recently. What is the best show you've ever seen, Rob?
Was Warped Tour, not this year, but I think 2002. I was 18 years old, and it was just one of those lineups that was so much that if I went now, I could never do. I almost died at Warped Tour this year, but that was back to back to back to back. This, I'm saying 2002, was sprinting stage to stage, and they had a drive-through record stage. So there was, I mean, I have a long list of bands that I went there specifically to see. And that's like, I don't know, I'm looking at it now. It's like 16 bands. That I went.
Flavor. So tell me a few.
Oh, geez. Whew, I'm going to run it down. Ready?
I did.
Alistair Finch, Glassjaw, Homegrown, The Movie Life, RX Bandits, The Starting Line, Pennywise, Further Seems Forever, Glass Eater, Under Oath, Thrice, Yellow Card, No Effects, Anti-Flag, Alkaline Trio, Goldfinger, Something Corporate, Newfound Glory, Lagwagon, Bad Religion, Thursday, and I already said Newfound Glory, I think.
Did I tell you the story about being in Philadelphia with Will, and he was wearing a Thursday hoodie, and we was in this coffee shop.
In that hoodie.
He does. We was in this coffee shop with Dave, and Will goes out to use the bathroom, and the barista lady goes to me, "Are you guys in a band?" And I was like, "No." Why? And she said,
"You always
say yes." He's wearing, I'm not trying to impress anyone. He was, she goes, "Oh, because he's wearing a Thursday hoodie and they're in town this week. And I just wondered if he's in the band." I was like,
"Did you do that? Do you go around wearing your own band shirts and hoodies?
Wearing your own hoodie to try and like promote the tour? It's clearly not going that well."
That would be amazing, actually. I want to see, you know what? When Silvertooth performs, they wear their Silvertooth shirts, everybody in the band.
Nice.
Yeah, so
yeah,
we can validate.
The idea that they'd be like, the idea that they'd be strolling around going into like coffee shops in Philly and try and impress people.
Yeah, just try to impress people.
So of that list, who stood out? What's your abiding memory? Is there anyone who was like the best performer? Because obviously we're saying the best show, you can't have everyone.
This. We talked about this, that it was one of those slow motion memories. Like when I think about, it was Newfound Glory playing there. It was in Palm Beach. It's either Palm Beach or Miami, but either way, Newfound Glory is from Coral Springs, like about 20 minutes from me. That's where they're from. That's where I used to see them. But in 2002, that was like their homecoming show, so they let them play longer, and it was just all my friends. Slow motion memory of Newfound Glory playing that show. So I'm going to go with that as my, might not be the most impressive musical set or magical in the moment, but when I look back now, it's like, that was my favorite thing.
That's the memory.
That's the memory. That's the first one that hit me. I think that it was like, okay, I'm going to go with this one. 'Cause it was my first thought. And it was just one of those, like I said, slow motion memories.
The needle on my record player has been wearing thin. The sucker has been playing since the day you've been with
it. You don't think about it. You think about it slow. I can see my buddy Andrew smashing into people. I see my other buddies. It was just a cool, a cool show.
Yeah. So I, when you said to me Newfound Glory, I mean, you've mentioned them to me before, and when I think Newfound Glory, they were never huge over here, right? And I remember My Friends Over You, and I was like,
yeah,
what other songs do they have? And then I went back and listened to that first album, the self-titled one. And
yeah,
some of the songs on there are so good. Better Off Dead.
That's the second album.
Good songs. Is that the second album? First one.
Yeah. Nothing Gold Can Stay.
Even on Spotify. That's why I haven't heard it.
Really?
I need to check that one out as well. No, I need to check it out.
Yeah, Nothing Gold Can Stay was the first record. That was 97, I want to say. Yeah, 97, because they're doing their 20-year tour right now. And they played in Philly the day after I left.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why.
Maybe if you'd have been out in a Newfound Glory top, people would have thought you were in the band.
That would have been amazing too. I would have totally said yes though. I would have been like, yeah, I'm
you got the accent.
Plays with his belly out. Yeah, I get the Florida accent. Yeah, because there's a big accent in Florida, in South Florida.
I mean, I'm not gonna pretend to be down with the American accents. I can't place you people, but.
Yeah, no,
I'm told you've got one.
I don't know if you remember, but I made a video and I was like, fuck you, Tom, this is my accent. And then you sent one back, you're like, that's not an accent, this is an accent. And I was like, what a fucking asshole, because his accent's way better. He just made
me
look bad.
That's the worst impression I've ever heard.
This is not an accent, this is an accent. I just can't, I got to do it deeper. I know, it's really bad. I'm lucky it didn't come out Irish or Jamaican or something.
I mean, it's definitely not an accent, but I don't know what it is. Okay. So Newfound Glory, have you seen them loads of times?
Oh, man. I started seeing them when I was like, my buddy would drive me out. I was like 15, and they used to play at a place called Club Q. It was a pool hall. And it was literally just for billiards, and they would move all the tables, and Newfound Glory most of the time was like the headlining band, so you can't see my air quotes, but there'd be, you know, mostly bands that nobody knew, and then Newfound Glory started gaining notoriety, and we would go see them. There'd be 200 people in the place. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love those smaller shows back when bands first kind of start to make it, and then you say, I was there before it happened. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was very neat. Just because, like I said, they're 20 minutes away, so everybody heard, you know, you have to hear this record. And then all of a sudden, I went from things like Blink into kind of emo. People called it emo, pop punk, whatever, into Newfound Glory like that.
Yeah, that's cool. It's nice to have had that band, like you say, that are from nearby, who you've kind of grown up with. And their sound's changed quite a lot, I think, when you listen through the records. And it's quite nice.
Well,
evolves that too.
There's like 15 records. I stopped after like. Yeah, like there, you get to a point where it's like, all right, this is a little bit of filler, and then just this last one that they just did was actually really, really good, and I enjoyed it. That came out in 2017.
Nice. I'll check that one out as well.
Definitely do.
Stop.
So you've said about kind of some of those slow motion memory songs, those kind of abiding moments and things you'll always remember. And I kind of we've had a conversation like this before, but what's a song that holds sentimental value for you? And if you don't mind saying why?
Well, I chose The Used, the song mm-hmm. I Caught Fire, which I know you're a big Used fan.
I have got a couple of Used tattoos.
I know. I almost got the same one, the Hanging Heart, like that. I was very close to getting that, and then I think I just kind of strayed away from it at one point and never really went back. So I, you know, but that song meant a lot. That song meant a lot because my wife, very short, we dated in high school. We broke up for a few years, and right when we got back together, she wrote those lyrics to me on my MySpace page.
Nice.
And so that one, whenever I hear it, I think about my wife, which is, I think, the best sentiment I could have towards music would be something that made me think of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Asked, was there any particular line that she wrote?
Yeah. Could we dim the sun and wonder where we've been? I still get a little shaky saying it. Yeah. It was a cool, yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, ah, God damn it, she got me. And that was that. Because <that. laughs> she really listens to all the same stuff.
Yeah. I think the used are interesting because, and we know I'm a big fan, but I think that Bert McCracken gets a bit of a bad rep because he is a complete disaster. But actually, he's lyrically, he writes some really good stuff, and he could be really poetic, yeah. And I think that's one of those moments.
That was definitely, that's just such a beautiful line for any song. You know what I mean? Like any song I've ever heard, could we dim the sun and wonder where we've been? It just makes you think, you know, I think about a sunset. I think about past memories. I think about obviously my wife now, but in that moment when I first heard it, I was like, wow, that specific line was beautiful, and the fact that my wife wrote it to me that day, yeah, is why I chose that song.
Nice. That's very, yeah, sweet. You're a big suffering.
And we got to talk about MySpace for a minute.
I know, I mean, who doesn't want to talk about MySpace?
Exactly.
It's where it was started, man. Okay. So, I mean, Newfound Glory are obviously big to you. I know you had a tough time with this next question. You had a tough time with every question, actually.
I really did. I talked to you about it for weeks.
We've been struggling to get there, but we've made it. So
yeah, we got here.
We know Newfound Glory are big to you. We know you're big into Beartooth at the moment. You grew up with Recognize. But who would you say, gun to head, who's your favorite artist?
Brand New. Band from Long Island. Their first record, Your Favorite Weapon, was like my super jam my senior year of high school. Another one that is that slow motion ride with my friends singing kind of record. And then they went into Déjà Entendu, which was just a big change. It still had that element of good hooky kind of pop, but they really took a big change in their sound. It went from really pop punk into more like a serious rock band, but still had that catchy. And when they moved into the album, I want to say Daisy was the next record. I can't remember exactly in order, but they slowly progressed more into like a jam band and a band that really just kind of started changing their sound, but it kept up beautifully throughout every record. They just grew, and as I got older, I believe we're all about the same age, early 30s, the band. So as they grew, I grew, and I just dug every single sound that they had, every record, every sound that they did. I was just like, man, this is – everyone just got me. I just understood every record.
I think a lot of us have bands like that, that as they change their sound, it's – they change it into something that is exactly what you needed it to be right at that time. Like they reinvent themselves kind of to your taste, and it's crazy how it happens. You feel really like serious about it.
That's exactly it. It was just
you know, one of those bands. I mean, it is the band that changed with my taste every single time, and still does with their new record they just put out, Science Fiction.
What do you think of Science Fiction?
It took me a minute. I got the first go around. I was like, all right, it's slower. It's not as catchy as, but it got to that point where you're like, okay, this is where they were supposed to go. You know, it wasn't obvious, but it also wasn't something you felt like they should have done. It's just where they should be, and it was. Now I've been about my 15th time through it, and I really enjoy it.
I've never really been a huge, I've never really given Brand New much time in my ears, to be honest with you. But I checked out Science Fiction and loved it. And that's, awesome. I guess, I haven't seen that transition from the early albums all the way through. But I went back and I was expecting to hear the new album and be like, okay, I like this sound. And then go back and be like, oh, now it feels a bit jarring to hear that kind of contrast, not having that kind of emotional attachment to it. But I listened to Deja Entendre, and that record is amazing.
So good. And that was came out when I was 19, I want to say.
Yeah.
And it was
2003, I'm reading here.
2003, so I was 19.
Yeah.
And it was just like, ah. Like after that first album, but they had grown up, and I went from being in high school to my freshman year of college, and it was like, all right, I'm a grown up, I dig this now. And it was like one of those little transitions to where, like, okay, I can like a band that isn't like high pitchy kind of, you know, whiny.
Are there any songs off that record that stand out to you?
Every single one of them. But
the only reason I ask is because when I was listening to it, so I listened to it and I was doing other stuff, and every now and then I'd be like, oh, this is good, and I would have to check what the song title was, and one song kept coming up every time it came on. I had to check, well, two actually, and one of them was Okay, I Believe You, but My Tommy Gun Don't.
Yeah,
that track. And then Jaws theme, Swimming.
Yeah. Another one that's just
really stand out to me.
The whole record runs through so smooth and with such a good sound and such a solid just a flow to the record that's just like, whoa. I'm looking at Deja Entendre now, and there's one song on there. It's the last track on the record. It's Play Crack the Sky. And I actually sing it to Cameron. There's two acoustic songs I sing to Cameron when he's getting all, you know, pissy and mad at stuff. I'll sing him Play Crack the Sky, and there's a new song called Brother Song. It's not new, but they never released it, and they just put out a leaked demo tape. And I heard it, and I was like, oh, man, this one speaks to me, the two acoustic songs. Plus, I could play them on guitar.
That helps.
Yeah.
So, obviously, again, another big contender for the next question, but what's push come to shove, what's your favorite album?
This was so difficult. I know, I just bombarded you for the last month when you told me you wanted to do this. But I ended up going with Finch, What It Is to Burn.
You did.
Yeah, which I think came out in 2002. But it was another record that just changed the way I looked at things. And it's just such a special album to me. I think just in general for what a lot of the music I was listening to, where it started to lead me into new things. Because I was never like a metal guy, and they're not a metal band, but I was never like a metal, heavy, fast, crazy kind of stuff like that. But Finch is so melodic, but really heavy at times.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that I really listened to like screaming in a song, and I was like, yeah, you can do that, and it sounds cool. You don't sound ridiculous. That record was just special in my life to open me up to a lot of new things. And every single song on it, I could listen to it every day for the rest of forever, and I wouldn't get sick of it. Shame.
The song that I think really stands out to me on that record is Project Mayhem.
Yeah.
It is.
That's a little faster.
So aggressive. It's so
right.
Cool. It's
yeah.
It's another one. It changes up the pace. It slows down a little bit and then it hits you really hard again. It's
yeah.
A very cool song. I like it.
And it's funny because Will, Upside Down Trash, we've been talking about him for a while now, but he's a fan of their second record, Say Hello to Sunshine. And I was like, yeah. How could you compare the two of those records? Because I thought What It Is to Burn was just a perfect record for the time, and it'll hold up forever, I think, especially in my eyes.
Yeah. I mean, I've listened to Finch for... I mean, I've seen them play when I was younger. I've listened to them on and off for years, I guess. But, yeah, when I really sat down and listened to What It Is to Burn... It doesn't age. It's a great record, and it is.
That's why I chose that, because it was one I just knew I could listen to forever, and I knew it was a special record, even if it was a band that maybe I only really know that one record. But I know others, and I knew some of their other stuff, but that one right there will stay with me. I'm sure of it forever.
Yeah.
Kicking lyrics right through your brain when you hear this sign, you'll be right as rain.
I think this is the next question is the one you probably had the toughest time with. Tell me wrong, but is there an artist that you think you should like based on all the other stuff you're into? Is there someone you think you should like but you just can't get into them?
Well, you know, I had this split right down to
you
the
did?
Very end. Yes,
decided about an hour ago.
I did decide about an hour ago, and I'm going to go with Metallica. Because
yeah,
with all the
this.
Stuff I listen to, yeah, I know you don't like them either. So I said we can just bash them. I just didn't like. It's not even that I don't like their music or I don't like their. It just wasn't one. Like, I have so many friends that listen to a lot of the same bands I listen to now that were huge Metallica fans, but I also missed that listening to hip hop right up until I was like 13, 14, until I started to transition over to like the pop punk and punk stuff, which it was just Metallica. I was just always like, you know, I didn't care for it. It wasn't really for me. And all the guys that always wore Metallica shirts, I just wanted to like be like, you're stupid. I don't like you. And there's so many people that love the band, and they're such a massive, you know, everybody loves Metallica. I don't know. I just not for,
uh-huh.
not for me.
I don't hear it. I don't hear it either. People who are into Metallica live and breathe Metallica, and I can't understand it. To me, you're right. Like, Enter Sandman, Master of Puppets are good songs, right? And then if you feel else, I'm like, this is just all the same song, right? This is
and it's been shoved down your throat for so long. Like, those songs have been, you've heard them so many times that you know them no matter what. And...
Yeah.
You know, it's not that they're bad songs. Again, it's not that they're a bad band. It's just it wasn't for me. It just wasn't something I dug.
Mean, there's no disputing that they are good musicians. We're not saying that. But it's just...
No.
They're not my cup of tea. And
mine either.
It's clearly not
mine
yours
either.
Either.
Yeah, and the drummer, Lars, always just came off as such a... pompous dickhead to me.
Comes
that
prick, doesn't he?
After that whole Napster thing, dude, I want to be like, go fuck yourself, buddy. I don't want to hear. Give you know, you get mad because you're not, you're already a fucking bajillionaire. You know, I just didn't like him, and that made me dislike their music just a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm on your side with this.
Yeah, and they're, like, again, good musicians, I'm sure. I mean, fantastic musicians. They're so popular for a reason. It just wasn't my speed.
What is your speed? Is there someone who you like, kind of no matter what they do? Someone who they could release different, be in different bands. Maybe they'll do other kind of forms of art. Maybe they'll be an artist or produce videos or whatever. Is there anyone who you're just... You eat it up every time.
the first one I went to, and when I asked my wife what, you know, kind of give me an opinion on it, she went to the same one, and it was Andrew McMahon. He started in a band called Something Corporate, who was another Drive-Thru Records band in the early 2000s. That was just one that I don't think I even really kept up with their second record, Something Corporate's second record, but the first one was just like, yeah, it was the first time. It was like a piano, like a real piano player. I saw them live for the first time. That's how I got to see them. And he's getting up on the piano and kicking it with his feet and shit and just singing sideways. It was like one of those things. You're like, okay, this guy just made this like kind of this piano really cool. And you're like, pop punk band, whatever you might want to call it, had this piano player that just made it even cooler. And again, yeah. Something Corporate was really whiny, but it still meant something to me now as I kept going through life, that it was just another one that I could always hear and had a couple songs that will stick with me forever, I'm sure.
I think when I checked out Something Corporate, I thought the guy, you're right, it's kind of a whiny sound, but it's the guy can sing as well. Andrew McMahon can sing. And there's this one song on the first record called I Woke Up in a Car.
And one of my favorites.
It's so good. It's a really, really good song.
It's one of my airplane songs. I have airplane music is that those ones that you can just sit and listen to and get excited to go someplace. Like I have like rock and roll, you know, workout music, and then like kind of in between, and then the airline music, which is just like airplane music that's definitely on there as one I can look out the window and you just kind of, you feel good listening to it.
So what else has Andrew McMahon done that you are?
His second band was Jack's Mannequin. But if you left it up to me, every day would be a holiday for real. We'd waste our weeks beneath the sun, we'd fry our brains and say it's so much fun out here. Another progression from Something Corporate into a little less whiny, a little more, you know, a little more mature. And it just was another one. We bought the record in California. I bought Leaving Through the Window, I believe it's called.
I think it is. Was,
When I heard that, it will forever remind me of Southern California driving around. And there's a song in there about going down to Venice to buy pot. And that was basically my life the whole time I lived in California. And before that it was just, but it was, different. The autobiographical stuff that he did wasn't so much about girls being mean to him or some guy that he didn't like. It was just kind of what was happening to him at the time. Not in that he also had leukemia, and I think some of that seeped in to where he was a little more positive, I think. Some of the songs were a little more positive. They were about living, about being a little more happy as opposed to being sad. So that was neat. And I got to see Jack's Mannequin live too in a piano bar in Palm Beach. And he just played that record straight through, and it was like, this guy's awesome. Like, I just really enjoyed it. It was a little outside my ballpark, pop-wise and stuff, but I just enjoyed it so much.
And he's got a third iteration of his career now as well, hasn't he?
Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. I didn't know about it until recently, and I was listening to the radio. My wife had on like top 10, whatever it was, in her car on Sirius and on our home radio station too, not even Sirius, just like our rock and roll station at home. And I was going, this voice is so familiar. And then I heard the piano. I was like, oh my God, that's Andrew McMahon. And it's like a top 10 single pop, like not poppy, like, you know, oom-bop pop, but like just one of those, who's the kid now? Shawn Mendes is another one that He's an 18-year-old kid, but he rips it apart singing and playing guitar, and people are going to call me stupid for that one because he's like 18 years old. But he's a great musician, and the songs are crazy catchy. And yeah. It just where Andrew McMahon went with that was just like you figure that's where he was going to end up, but it's like he could be a multimillionaire pop star now. And again, you say pop star, and it sounds like NSYNC, but it's like popular music so much as it's still
that's
a rock and roll band.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's an edge to it, but it is pop music, isn't it? I mean, we were chatting, obviously, in the build-up to this around all the stuff you're into and the different stuff I should check out I didn't know about before we were going to have the conversation. And when you suggested Andrew McMahon to me, I listened to the first In the Wilderness record and was like, this isn't what I was expecting you to tell me about. This
yeah.
wasn't the sort of sound I was expecting to hear from you. And
yeah, yeah.
something that I think it crosses over and a lot of different people would like him. I think his sound is really kind of universal in a really good way.
If you get a chance, if anybody that hears this gets a chance to watch Fire Escape, the music video, it is so funny. It's
yeah.
the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube men. You
nice.
Know what I'm talking about? Like this.
I know what you
they
mean. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like dating the two. There's a tube man and a tube woman, and there's even parts where they're fucking. And it's just
nice.
So good. I said, I was like, this, you're taking away from like this song being so good to this video being out of this world awesome to me that it,
yeah.
it kind of took away from how good the song was.
Yeah.
Because the video is so good.
It's funny when sometimes sometimes a video can totally usurp the song. But do you remember that band OK Go or something? They had that song that
yeah.
no one remembers what it's called or what it sounds like. But they danced on them treadmills, and everyone was into it.
Yeah, and you don't see that many videos anymore. The only reason I saw the video
exactly.
was to send you a YouTube clip. That's the only reason I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, I need to watch it because I didn't watch the video. I checked it all out on Spotify.
Of course you didn't.
I'm
but
a modern
now
man,
you'll watch it and be like, yeah.
yeah
you can just back in and say, oh, I watched the video now, and Rob was right.
Exactly.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. I'm definitely not going to say you were right, but even if it is hilarious.
You're going to say I was right, because you're going to see it and be like, God damn it, he was right.
I'll tell you privately. So those were the questions, man.
Yeah.
People can find you online. They can find you on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. You're at Rocky Momax.
At Rocky Momax.
The people of Florida and surrounding area can find you on stage in places, right?
Yeah, yeah. It hasn't been as steady recently with the new baby. But I am
mm-hmm.
I am out a lot at different shows in South Florida at American Rock Bar. They're mostly they're smaller. If I end up getting to do the improv, it's hosting. So you know, that's about it. And I also host and do spots at Gregory's Upstairs Comedy Club in Cocoa Beach, Florida, which is
cool.
probably my only regular paying gig, where they're not just
nice.
Giving me like a drink or a slice of pizza. But Gregory's is the one I get the most time, and I also come up in between because I'll host or I'll open, but I'll get 7, 8, 10 minutes, which is
nice
because you can actually get to hear me tell a story, which I'm best at, I think.
I mean, you've sent me some video of your stand up before, and it's, you know, you're a funny man and braver than I am because I could not do it. So,
thank you.
It's always good
it's,
stuff. The stories are great.
It's
you got great
it's
way
fun for. To be a little scared.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So,
you'd be great though with your sultry English voice. You could just go up there and make sounds with your mouth and be like, yeah, that was the one. However, I'm not really good at English accent.
You're not. And also, that doesn't really fly in England. Everyone's got the same accent, man.
That doesn't really
doesn't
fly
work.
In England. They'd find me out quick, buddy.
Yeah, we're going to talk you off now.
boy!
What song do you want to play out the podcast?
Another one that I bombarded you with. And I'm going to go with Daniel Johnston. The song is True Love Will Find You in the End. I saw a documentary on him called The Devil and Daniel Johnston in 2006. I looked it up to make sure because I saw it right when it came out. So 2006, I was 22. And it was just this wild, odd, creepy, scary, but also melodic and awesome vibe. That was one that got me. And it was mostly acoustic, and he has like this little synthesizer thing. And it's just such a great sound, I think. And the guy is so haunting, his whole past.
Yeah.
His whole, you know, he's a schizophrenic and a manic depressive. And it was just, when you heard True Love Will Find You in the End, I think that would be one of the ones I'd play out my life to now that I thought about it. It's a really beautiful song.
I think everyone should definitely check out Daniel Johnston's life story because it's very interesting. I've been reading up on it today and been listening to an awful lot of Daniel Johnston this afternoon, and that is it's some good stuff. It's
very good, yeah.
It's also, like you say, it's very haunting, very beautiful. So we will play that for the listener now, I guess. So do you want to say goodbye and then we'll hit play?
Enjoy, guys. And Tom, thank you so much for having me as the first guest. I really, it does. I appreciate it, pal.
No, we would have had no one else.
And I'm happy. Oh, well, you know, made me very happy. I enjoy talking music, and you know how much I enjoy talking with you. So thank you very much for having me.
True love will find you in the end. You'll find out just who was your friend. Don't be sad, I know you will. But don't give up until true love will find you in the end. This is a promise with a catch. Only if you're looking can it find you. This true love is searching too. But how can it recognize you unless you step out into the light, the light? Don't be sad, I know you will. But don't give up until true love will find you in the end.
One more thing, actually. I wrote down a bonus question. This is quick fire. First thing that comes in your head. What would your band be called?
Like a Nightmare.
Nice.